Welcome to episode 67 of Conversation Street, the only podcast dedicated to the British Shape Institution, Coronation Street. I'm Gemma. And this week we'll be discussing yesterday's broadcast in the UK between the 4th and the 8th of November 2013.
Are we going to keep that one?
Yep.
I wasn't listening. Yeah.
You weren't listening. That's typical.
You're apologising
for a sued dip.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Last week, the end of last week's episode, there was a dip in sound quality. Some people might have noticed.
Oh, yeah, that was the silly...
Yeah,
that was your fault.
I can't remember whether we said it at the end of the episode, but it suddenly froze and we thought we'd lost like an hour and 20 minutes worth of recording. And
almost had a very brief podcast.
Yeah, we just said, so Coronation Street, go out of five this week. That's
three.
It. No, but it was okay. It froze for about 2 minutes and it unfroze, but then the microphone was quieter for some reason. So sorry about that. Right, let's look at curry history this week. So, 30 years ago, and I mentioned this last week, Mark Hillkirk, who was a pupil of Ken's, was injured during a community bonfire night, and that is why Rita doesn't sell fireworks at the cabin.
That's a long time to hold a grudge.
Yeah. 20 years ago, the Platt children burned an effigy of Percy Sugden on their bonfire.
Oh dear.
Yeah, if you haven't got fireworks, you've got to find something else to do. 15 years ago, Greg Kelly lashed out at Sally after finding that she was partially responsible for him losing a contract.
Recording contract?
No.
Oh.
Business contract, the boring sort, yeah. 10 years ago, Shelley punched Peter after he told her he was moving to Spain with Lucy and Simon. But that was just a big old trick from Lucy's...
That tricky lady.
Yeah, because she
just... Even dead.
She had no intention of going there with him. In fact, she moved to Australia with just her and Simon. And she just wanted to get Peter in the doghouse with Shelley.
There's not much of an influence of Australia on Simon, is there?
No, I don't think there's any at all.
Wonder how long he lived there.
I don't know, I can't remember
how... Kids like that, he lived in a foreign country, you don't bloody shut up about it. My cousin was... I lived on the Isle of Wight, and he kept calling it his country and talking about passports.
Well, Simon has got such a strong northern accent, you'd think that he hardly lived there at all.
So, well,
don't know. Do not know.
A big northern community in Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, all countries have a north somewhere.
They do.
Usually at the top.
Depends, doesn't it?
5 years
ago. Which way up the map is.
Yeah, whatever. Five years ago, Rosie was released from John Stapes' attic after he kidnapped her.
Silly John.
Yeah, naughty man. And it says some birthdays for the cast this week as well. We've got Jane Danson's birthday this week. I think it's today or tomorrow. She is 35.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so happy birthday
to
Jane.
Big old 35.
Yeah, that's what we'll be one day. And 70 years ago, since Michael Byrne was born, and he played Gail's dad, Ted Page.
One of the best characters.
Whatever happened to him? I was surprised to hear that he was 70, because I could kind of say he looks like ancient. I would say he's like 100 or something.
You're rude.
Whatever. Do you think they're ever going to mention Gail's dad again?
I would have thought he was 70 when he was in it. Not now.
Yeah. How long ago was that? That was maybe about 5 years ago.
I would have said
it?
He was in his 70s.
Yeah.
When he was in the programme, not in his 60s.
Yeah, but yeah, happy birthday to him. Don't do anything.
Make sure that you use suntan, is the moral of the story. Yeah. Suntan lotion.
Exactly. So, before we go any further, we just got a little quiz for some of our listeners today, because we just found out on Facebook today, a little northometer quiz, which some people on my Facebook have been filling in a questionnaire of, to find out just how northern they are. Gemma already found
Fair
out.
To say that I'm disqualified from any further discussion on anything to do with stuff north of London, but we knew that already, didn't we, darling?
Yeah, because Gemma is 8% northern, according to this quiz.
I say I'm 92% southern, because this is actually from a Facebook page called Us Versus Them, which makes me think it's somewhat antagonistic towards southerners, but there you go, I don't get the obsession.
Do you want to have a look at some of the questions on the quiz, and then our listeners can see just how northern they
along.
Are?
But we can't give you results because we're not an interactive quiz. We're a podcast, okay? Right, when did you last eat chips and gravy? This week? This year? Longer, if ever?
Yeah,
what did you say?
I said longer, if ever, for that. I don't eat chips and gravy.
Right. Where hast thou been, see our war sorely? I don't even know if I said that right. And the responses are onlooker more bat at, where do ducks play football, or the more understandable, what?
Yeah, I think I went for that one.
What's an oat cake? It's an oaty pancake. It's an oaty flatbread. It's like porridge.
I didn't know what that was. I said it was an oaty pancake.
I thought that as well.
It doesn't tell you whether you're right or wrong in these either.
I think that was right because you just went up.
Oh, good.
When do you wear a coat? When it's cold? When there's an hour in the month? Or when hell freezes over?
I always wear a coat.
You always do, don't you?
I hold my wallet in it.
Saying when hell freezes over is quite a rosy picture of the South. We do have weather down here. In the evening, do you have dinner, supper or tea?
I have tea.
Of course, I've lectured you about this in the past. In the South, we do have tea for dinner, but only if you're poor. Pie, oh, I just went over one. Pie balm.
I don't know what a pie balm is.
I imagine it's a sandwich with pie in it. But why anyone would eat that, I don't know. Someone talks to you on a bus, do you assume they want money, politely ignore them, or chat back?
I think I said I'd politely ignore them. Yeah. That's really rude.
What are you drinking? Bitter, mild, or pear cider? How did you pick this one?
Oh, I said mild because I'm drinking a cup of tea at the moment and that's quite mild.
I think you're supposed to pick pear cider if you're
southern.
I think that's supposed to be the southern of all of the drinks. In the playground, did you play Tig or Tiggy, Tag or Tap, Had, Hit or It?
Yeah, we called it Tig, the chase game where
we
were from.
So we used to call it Tag or It.
Yeah.
But that's because I'm from a more
northern place than you.
We used to play It, yeah, mostly. Okay. And so together we are 14% northern. That's somewhere around Bournemouth.
Ah, good. What about you? If you're playing along at home, or you can go and find it. But anyway, enough.
That was just interesting.
That was kind of interesting.
And I think anyone who's in Coronation Street now who didn't score at least 80% should be sacked. Because they've sacked people for less.
Yeah, true.
Right, let's go move on to Street Talk. On Street Talk, we've got a variety of fascinating topics to discuss. The Toddigle Sun returns. That's right, Todd's back from that fancy London, getting up to his old tricks again.
Yeah, I wonder
people.
How he'd score on the Northern Test at the moment.
I think he'd
forgotten
be drinking Perry with his little finger out. There's been a spot of Roy decorating in Roy and Haley's abode.
Yes, it's to Haley's displeasure.
Faye and Grace have been up to their old tricks, but perhaps shine's starting to wear off of old Grace. Falling from Grace, we're calling this, because we think she's about to have a downfall.
Yes.
We hope, anyway. Steve seems to be going back to school. We're calling this one Studious Steve. And we have the Chronicles, of course, of everyone's favourite mental patient, shall we say? Sick Nick.
Yeah, he was
in it
a little
bit. He's ordered a bacon sandwich, which is like getting free bacon sandwiches.
Oh, that's brilliant. I wish that somebody would just present me with a bacon sandwich out of nowhere.
And
that's
like all my Christmases all, like, come at once. He was all angry about it. I'd be like, hey, I don't remember asking for it, but bacon sandwich.
Yeah, especially if I'd already paid for it as well. That'd be perfect.
Yeah, you don't like parting with cash, do you?
No. So, Todd's back. what do you think about his return this week? Have you been happy to see him?
Cheeks. That's my only opinion.
Yeah, because I was surprised when he said about, when he was talking in tonight's episode, about it being 10 years ago since that little incident with Nick.
Has it been 10 years?
Well, yeah, it must have been. I mean, we said that in a podcast a few weeks ago when we had the 10-year anniversary.
We don't listen to
ourselves. No. But yeah, so he obviously does look a little bit different. He's still the same old guy. But well, outwardly, he's changed a little bit. He's got 10 years
he's
older.
All fancy,
but he's
wearing suits. And
he's gone a bit too posh for Coronation
Street.
He
thinks he's too good for his old mam.
Yeah, and they've made him into a bit of a nasty man. He's a bit of a liar.
It kind of annoys me how there's this stupid divide between North and South, and like everything from the South is bad and corrupt.
Evil.
And,
yeah, London and has corrupted
nasty
him.
Businessmen. And anyway. So on Monday, Jason, Sean and Eileen are having to clean up because obviously they can't have a dirty house for when Todd comes back. But Jason's not very impressed because he's a bit sick of Eileen's attitude towards Todd being the, you know, the shining child.
Yeah, because with him down in London, he's not had to... Well, I'm sure Eileen does talk about Todd and everything, but he's not had to have Todd be rubbed in his face all the time. And now he's back, even though he's supposedly... Wasn't he supposed to only be coming back for a week originally? Jason's not happy that he's going to be...
Well, we know that Eileen talks about Jason because when she sees...
Todd.
Todd, when she sees Gail and Gail finds out that Todd's coming back, Eileen's going, oh, he's so busy with his law firm, so he can't come up to the north very much, and starts being smug about all the rubbish that's been going on with the Platt family.
Yeah, and saying, have they mentioned it to Sarah? So the first person to arrive isn't Todd at all. It's this mysterious stranger who's who asked Nick and Leanne where the Grimshaws live. And he goes into the house. Eileen opens the door and he's pushing his way in. He's like, where's Todd? Where's Todd? Have you seen him? Yeah. You must be hiding him. He must be upstairs. Todd. So this incredibly rude guy, not making himself very welcome there. And he's called Alex, so-called love of Todd's life, and then he starts slagging Todd off, basically, saying what a horrible liar he is.
He reveals the sordid tale of Todd's downfall, who Todd split up with Jules and fallen in love with Alex and arranged to go on holiday with him, but pocketed the cash and then never showed up at the airport, and then texted him to dump him.
Yeah.
Which is just unforgivable. And in the meantime, Todd's been sacked for being a lazy, selfish liar. That seems a bit to be told from Alex's point of view rather than what you would actually have in an exit interview.
I can't remember what they... I think they must have mentioned it. I can't remember why he was sacked.
Well, I can tell you if you'd like to know.
Oh, we'll say when we get to it. So, yeah, so then Jason tells him to do one because it's like you can't just stay here and slag him off with him not being here to defend himself. But then Todd does arrive, and nothing's new, apparently.
Well, Jason leaves them. Well, Todd's like, everything's fine, yeah, my job's brilliant, Jules is great, yeah, I'm just going to have a bath. And Jason's like, I'm leaving, I can't deal with this, I'm going to the pub. So they have a little shepherd's pie or cottage pie together, Todd's asking for money, to borrow money, because he hasn't had time to go to a cash point. But we know there's a Nationwide in Des, because they've paid money for it to be there.
Well, yeah, Jason's gone down to the Rovers during this, hasn't he? And that's where he bumps into this Alex again, who's also, Sean's kind of got his gaydar out, he said.
Boobity boobity boop. Alex is lamenting the excellent sex that he used to have with Todd, which is far too much information for Coronation Street.
Jason didn't want to know that.
Jason didn't want to know either. And Sean is discovering that Jules has been dumped, and he starts interrogating Alex to find out more about it. And Alex then realises that Todd is home, from what Sean says.
Yeah. Well, it was that they were expecting him, because when he was going, oh, where's Todd? Have you got him hidden upstairs or anything?
Who's Todd? I don't know who that is.
Yeah, so
he's not due back here today.
He goes round to confront him.
Yeah, so meanwhile,
want my money, but in the end, Eileen pays.
Writes him a cheque for his cash, and then Todd explains, "I was laid off because the economy's bad, and then Jules got paranoid, so he thought I was having an affair. So I did have one, got kicked out, moved in with Alex, but Alex was a bit too much. That's where I am. Sorry about that, Mum." So Jason says, this is too much. I'm going to stay with Eva, and we all went, oh yeah, they're going out.
I forgot that they were going out. Do you buy this personality change from Todd? I mean, I know people do change in 10 years, but he was always like the nice, sensible one. Although, I mean, he did by the end of it, when he was having that affair with Carl, and he was going out with Sarah at the same time. We did get to see more of a nasty side of Todd. But he was never quite as bad as he's been this week.
This is just exactly what happened with Ryan, isn't it? They want a sexy bad boy on the street, so they bring in an old character, although they didn't change the actor this time, and just make them into a villain.
Do you think that they're going to do that the same as they did with Ryan? Because Ryan probably came in and he was trying to con people, and he was never nice, he was never a likeable character. Do you think that that's going to happen to Todd, or are they going to like mellow him out?
I think they'll mellow him out, because I think it didn't go down very well what they did with Ryan anyway, did it?
No. Well, they still haven't had even Marcus or Maria in it this week, but he's obviously going to have us do something to try and split them up or whatever first, but he's probably going to end up settling down with, I don't know, with Marcus or with...
Really?
Well, maybe. I don't know.
Why are you saying about splitting up Marcus and Maria?
Well, I think that's the inevitable what's going to happen with this storyline. Yeah. Marcus and Maria haven't done anything.
What does he know about Marcus?
Nothing particularly, but...
Just wondered why you picked them.
Well, because Marcus and Maria have been together for a year, and they've had about 5 scenes together since then, and I think that this is going to be, like, the test of whether Marcus really does love Maria, or whether he's a guy who could turn his head.
Well, anyway, back to Todd. Let's talk about what he's up to at the moment. He's lying about how Alex lent him the money, and he says, oh, my life's been rotten, and it's really all Eileen's fault. Mum, she put me on a pedestal, and it's all her fault.
Yeah,
really.
Using it against her.
Don't really understand how he jumped to that logic, but he did. So on Wednesday, he tries to make amends to her with some smoked salmon and scrambled eggs, which is the Coronation Street make-up breakfast, as we know. but they don't. Eileen's unimpressed, but Todd's looking quite shifty.
Yeah, Eileen in that episode just wanted to get rid of him, really. She's so disappointed in him, and don't blame her, really, especially with him saying, oh, it's all your fault for this. So she's sort of saying, right, fine, go back to London then, if this place is no good for you. But he's like... He hasn't got anywhere to go, and in the end, Sean managed to convince Eileen?
Sean pleads Todd's case, but she doesn't really want to hear it to start with. But then, when they're all in the pub together, Todd comes up to them and says, I'm going, everybody, bye, Eileen, bye Sean, bye Jason,
sorry,
bye
Eva. Stay for longer.
And Sean says, Eileen, don't let him go like this, just let him stay for a bit longer.
Yeah.
So she does, because she's a soft touch.
Yeah, so he's off the hook for a little bit.
So on Friday... Jason's saying, I don't believe that a word of what Todd's saying, don't mess Eileen around because I'll kick your ass.
Yeah.
So Todd's like, I'm not going to do anything wrong, I'm going to go and get a job. And while he's off to go and get a job, he meets his lovely aunt Julie, who tells him she's totally fine that he's gay, and all of her best friends are gay, in fact.
I can't believe that he hadn't met Julie before, because...
Why would he have?
Well, why not? Because, I mean, she's been kind of officially
Eileen's
sister for...
I've been watching this programme every day for the past... I don't know how long, and I've never seen them meet. Anything that doesn't happen on the screen, as far as I'm concerned, didn't happen.
Eileen's always going off to London, and I would have thought that Julie would have gone.
No.
I was quite surprised that they hadn't. Or at
Julie
Christmas
probably
or
would have gone and then spent her whole time in a musical.
Well, yeah, so she gets on Todd's wick a little bit for being a bit too enthusiastic about having a new member of the family, but she does manage to get him that job at the end, packing in the factory.
Well, he's not very impressed about this, because... he doesn't want a factory job. He wants to go and work at the bistro. So he goes into the bistro, and Gloria's behind the bar, and he convinces her to let him have a go at making a cocktail. But then Gail and Nick walk in, and they're not happy to see him behind the bar.
Yeah, well, this confrontation scene had to happen at some point, and I'm glad they got it out of the way this week. So it was a little bit weird, because obviously the Todd coming on to Nick was done when it was Adam Rickett that played it.
I know, I just don't... doesn't work for me, this...
They should have
just pretended that they didn't know each other.
I thought that new Nick played it fairly well. The way he was looking at him and talking about him, I kind of did believe that he was the one that was involved in it before.
No way. I'm sorry, but can you imagine Todd, as he is now, making a move on Nick as he is now? No freaking way.
No, I guess not. Why do you think he even wanted to work in the bistro?
It's all about the appearance for him, isn't it? If you look at the street, look at all the businesses that are on the street, and what do they look like? Which one would you most like to point at and say, I work there?
I know, but I mean, he knows that it was Nick's business, and he knew that would surely cause a load of problems. Do you think he did it on purpose to try and cause drama, or was he trying to show off and say, look at me, I'm not holding any grudges, so...
I think it's delusional.
Mm.
It's also just a convenient way to sort of get that scene out of the way early, like you say. Nick's not very impressed about this. He tries to charge him £7.25 for a cocktail, which appears to be a pina colada that Todd then tries to chug.
Yeah, the other one.
And storms out and somehow manages to make it through the doorway, which is quite impressive. He can't have put that much alcohol in it.
No, he only adds a little sip of it, I think.
And Julie, as we said, gets a job in packing. And he's a bit annoyed with her, but then they're later to make it up in the Rovers, and she ends up buying him drinks.
Yeah, well, he manages to insult...
skillful manipulation.
He managed to insult her by saying that it takes no brain power to work in packing, and Kirk must be brain dead by now or whatever. So...
Oh, yeah. Well, he's rude, isn't he?
Yeah.
He's not supposed to like him. He's supposed to be corrupted by the evil Southerners and their decadent ways.
So Todd,
we have robots packing boxes in factories down here.
So Todd in the factory next week, then, I guess, we've got to look out for. So when you heard that he was going to come back, has it lived up to your expectations?
I don't really remember much I don't really like the character. I don't care whether they changed his personality particularly.
He's a fairly kind of blank slate, isn't he? They could have done anything with him, really. It was interesting that they always had this qualified young person on Coronation Street, which is a rarity. But I think
they kind of screwed it up, didn't they?
Yeah, by the time he left back 10 years ago, don't think I was too sad to see him go. He got a little bit bland, a little bit boring.
He's quite a bland. He's got a bland face, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, I'm just glad that there'll be kind of a Grimshaw storyline that's not revolving around Eileen's love life or lack of it for a little while.
Wonder, are they going for like gay Totty now or something? Because whenever they bring in a new bloke, I know he's not new, but whenever they bring in a male character, it's like, oh, look at this sexy Totty. Are they going for the gay market? Because now they've got 3 gay characters.
Don't know.
Gay male characters, which is enough for a love triangle. Which is quite exciting.
Yeah, that is true. That's bound to come, isn't it?
And obviously his brother is Mr. Gay Weatherfield, so. We've got a couple of lesbians, so we just need another lesbian.
Well, do you think that Todd's a shoo-in for the sexiest male at the British Soap Awards next year?
Don't know. It's come a long way there, hasn't it, the soap, to say now we've got these 3 gay characters and no, it's not even like a big deal.
Considering that 10 years ago when they had that gay kiss, it was such a big deal and they had all the complaints and everything.
It's crazy.
Like a different world. It's really not that long ago.
It's really progressive and... Are they gonna? They haven't had a gay marriage, have they?
No.
They almost.
They
did.
They nearly did.
I wonder. Charlie and Sophie. I wonder whether we're gonna see a gay wedding.
Oh, I'm sure we will. It's only a matter of time. Maybe that's gonna be something for next
year.
Not
this year. That would be a bit hasty, wouldn't it? Yeah. You don't have gay shotgun weddings, do you?
Maybe next year. So anyway, from one sexiest male on the streets to another. Roy. So we last left him on Friday, busily
scraping off
wallpaper because he's just decided that he wants to have a change of the scenery in the place where Hayley is going to be spending most of the rest of her life.
He wants to scrub away the past. He wants to erase everything that reminds him of arguing with Hayley, and he wants to start again, I think.
But it doesn't actually look that much different.
No, I really couldn't.
I was
looking at it today after everything has been finalised, and I was thinking to myself, yep, that looks like what it did to begin with. And I don't know how Hayley's got the gall to complain about it.
When I saw that he was redecorating the room, I thought that he was going to try and make it more for Hayley, because the room was very kind of brown and all those old pictures on the walls and trains and everything, and it was still very much Roy's room, it seemed to be for me.
Oh,
and
it was quite pink.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember. Maybe I'm remembering it wrong then. We don't see many bedroom scenes between Roy and Hayley. But
scenes?
For some reason, I was just expecting something a little more modern and kind of light and nice. But it was,
you crazy?
It was gross, the wallpaper he chose in the end. But he very nearly didn't get it done because he was getting so stressed out on Monday. Anna and Mary decided that they need to go and help him, but he didn't want any help. He was like, no, you can't come in here. This is all my thing. He'd set his heart on getting this done because Hayley was coming back home on Friday, apparently.
He wants to fix their relationship and he can't, so he's decided to fix the bedroom.
Yeah, yeah. So Mary goes upstairs to clean away some of the papers, and Roy's not best pleased with that, so he storms upstairs again. And then at the end of the first episode on Monday, Anna's having this heart-to-heart with him, saying, oh, you can't cope alone. So Anna was kind of nice, Anna, this week. She wasn't too fishwife this week, do you think?
Not so bad, no. She was being a bit more maternal. She's kind of taken Fizz's place in this. There doesn't seem to be enough room for Fizz and Anna.
No, I'd rather it was Fizz, though.
About
Fizz wasn't in it at all this week, was she?
Because there's only so many people being concerned about Roy and Hayley's relationship that I can take.
Well, Carla's, I think, has been the best so far, and she still was today. Like, when Hayley was at the factory in today's episode, Carla was great. Even though she was saying, like, I don't really know what to say, she was just naturally able to kind of not make light of the subject, you know, but she was able to speak normally to Hayley without...
kind of
pussyfooting around the subject that you're going to die. It's kind of nice. But anyway.
It's so nice that I'm going to die and you're not making a big deal out of it.
The big shock on Monday's episode, or the misstep from Roy, was that he accidentally revealed Hayley's suicide plan to Anna.
Whoops!
And he has a bit of a Hagrid moment there. He was like, oh, I shouldn't have told you that, Anna.
Don't tell no one.
So he's very upset that he's given away Hayley's secret. He's like, I betrayed a personal trust or whatever. Yeah, he has a bit of a mental breakdown by the end of the episode as well. And he's there painting away in the dark when we leave him on Monday. So Wednesday, that was all about Anna getting Owen and Gary to go and help him out. So that was kind of nice that they did that. They didn't have any other work to do, so they go and arrange to redecorate his house for free.
He doesn't really like this, though. He kind of gets a bit like a mother hen and starts fussing around and not wanting them to really get involved in it.
That's because he's been single-mindedly. He's had this idea of, like, I'm going to do this for Roy, for Hayley, and obviously he doesn't like change, so...
Well, no, exactly. He doesn't like having his personal space invaded.
No, but he did look the gift horse in the mouth, but eventually he agreed to let them come and do it, but he would still pay them, but give them free lunches and tea or whatever. So they're in the middle of doing this redecorating, and then Hayley walks in. So she's home two days early, and as everyone else did when they first saw the wallpaper, she kind of has a little bit of a...
double take.
Yeah, because it's certainly a unique wallpaper. Roy obviously can't cope with the fact that, again, this plan that he'd set his mind on hasn't worked for him. So he's like, hurries her out. He's a bit rude with her. Like, you can't be in here.
You're not due at home yet. And as usual, the pathetic excuse that Hayley comes out with as to why she's turned up completely unannounced was that they don't like letting people use their mobile phones in the hospital.
Oh, yeah, that's so
which
stupid.
Is the most pathetic... storyline get out clause I've heard in years.
Yeah, I know.
It's really getting on my wick now.
Well, it's not like that the hospital is built onto the side of the cafe either. She could have.
How did she get back?
I don't even know.
I'm
she
sure
just appeared.
She said, but it's like
probably got a taxi. But
if I'm dying of cancer, I expect you to give me a lift home.
Yeah, I would get a text saying cup of tea. Yeah. Coming back from hospital.
Need a lift.
So,
bringing back Burger King.
She doesn't know how to tell Roy that the wallpaper's a bit rubbish. But Anna's like, look, you just got to be honest with each other, because she knows that there's this what the problem is between the two of them now. And so she's just like saying, you can't.
You've got to communicate. Yeah. She's not just talking about the wallpaper.
Yeah, but they don't, and they sleep back to back that night, as we found out on today's episode.
And the following night.
Yeah.
It's grim.
So the main thing that happened on Friday, though. First off, she had two jobs to do today. She wanted to go and see the factory girls, then she wanted to go and see Jane. So she goes and has a nice little natter in the factory. Carla's great, as always. I like the little scenes when Hayley's in the factory, because Roy's not there, kind of putting her down on everything, and it's all quite
nice. I don't know, I kind of feel a bit exhausted by how much of an act she has to put on.
Do you?
Yeah, she's always kind of like, she always looks a bit like, grin and bear it, you know?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think so. Anyway, she the next job is to go and see Jane, of course, who she wanted to go and see on Wednesday, but Roy was like, no, you can't go and see Jane. He obviously doesn't want anything to do with Jane. He said it was because, oh, look, you're tired, but he doesn't want to have this reminder that the person that they're going to go and see is, like, looking however many months into the future and when Hayley's on death's door. Yeah, but she finally manages to persuade him to drive her up there today to the hospice, and what do you know, she's dead.
Jane's dead. Well, that ruined everything, didn't it? Thanks, Jane.
Yeah. So, all in all, Jane was in a total of, what, three, four, five episodes,
she'll
maybe?
She'll always remain in our heart. I want to do a classic character profile on her.
I do think that she died too soon.
Too soon.
I think they could have drawn that out for another month or so.
2012 to 2012. You're in our hearts.
What year are we in this year?
Oh, I don't know what year
2013.
I thought, I'll learn by the end of December.
I think if they really wanted to tug at their heartstrings, they should have had Jane dying at Christmas.
Of course they should. And then she should have said something like, God bless us, everyone. And then kind of did a little cough.
So, do you think we're going to get to see much more of Jeff anymore, or is that it for him as well? Because he was only in it for like 30 seconds a day.
We kind of like built this fantasy life for them, didn't we? Where they would pop in and out and,
yeah.
Oh, the kids are driving me nuts, oh dear.
And then we had like maybe Roy and Jeff kind of
bonding,
getting together, bonding
you know,
together
bonding
after.
Session. Yeah. Both our wives are dying.
That could still happen. I reckon we might not see Jeff for a bit, but when Hayley dies, he might pop back in again.
So she dead yet?
Well, anyway, Hayley is apoplectic because she was she was determined to see Jane on Wednesday, and if she had, she would have been able to watch her die.
Yeah.
Which is what we seem to get out of that. But she didn't get the chance.
She's absolutely furious. She blames Roy for all of this. It's his fault completely. And she's saying to her, she's saying, "Look, I feel really bad. I feel guilty for saying it, but I can't stop saying these things. I feel overwhelmed by my emotions, and I can't say anything without being horrible, but really, this is all your fault, and you won't listen to me, and I don't know what to, you know, I don't know what to say."
It's not really Roy's fault, though, was it?
Well, she's not mad about that. She's upset, but she's cross that Roy still won't accept what she's
Yeah, that's
said.
What it was all about, really, about her not wanting to kill herself.
Because this has opened up all the stuff that she's worried about, because Jeff tells them that Jane died peacefully, but she wasn't really aware of what was going on. She wasn't really herself.
Yeah.
And to Hayley, not being herself means being Harold.
I
think this is a real stretch.
I know. I mean, and also the whole thing with transgender people, I thought, was that they were always female. So even when Hayley was Harold, she was still kind of Hayley, but in a man's body. So does she expect that she's going to sprout a penis as she's lying there dying? Like,
I don't know. It's a very delicate subject, but I was moaning about the fact that I don't like depressing cancer, you know, dying and everything. They found a new angle on this, which is quite intriguing, but I do think they're missing the mark on it, because I think it just seems a bit far-fetched.
Yeah, having all the hair regressing to Harold.
Because, I mean, I know she has very bad memories of when she was when she was younger and she didn't feel that she was herself. But like you said, I think most transgender people think that they were always the gender that they identify with rather than the gender they were born with. But then obviously Hayley went through that a lot longer before.
Yeah.
Like this is transgender people don't have it easy by any means, but it's progressed a lot more during Hayley's lifetime.
Partly and thanks to Hayley's story, I would say, in a little way.
She's lived as a man for longer than they make most transgender people live as the gender they're biologically born as.
Yeah.
Because I think you can have reassignment quite young. If you genuinely, you know, they speak to you about it and counsel you and stuff, but you can be you can transition.
Yeah.
Quite young. And so perhaps because she's had all those years as Harold and being miserable and not really knowing and not really... I don't really know much about Hayley's backstory.
I can't remember. I can't remember much. But yeah, I think that would be the main problem with regressing to being Harold. Not feeling that she was a boy, but sort of not knowing who Roy was and sort of forgetting everything over the last 15 years or so. That's the main problem with regressing, I guess. But that just doesn't seem to be what they...
On the whole thing, and as Hayley said, that's why she really doesn't want to, she wants to be in control, and Roy gets quite angry again at her and says, you're rude, selfish, and now you're being glib about it. And she says, no, I'm just desperate because I want you to see this from my point of view. I want to be who I am. I want to die as Hayley. I don't want to die as Harold.
I was just a bit disappointed that the storyline didn't really go anywhere at the end of it. I thought that a couple of times in the episode when they kind of sat down and it looked like they were going to talk it through and reach some kind of agreement, they never did. So they're really no better now than they were when it was 2-3 weeks ago when Hayley stormed off to live with Fizz and Tyrone.
Yeah.
So okay,
what's going on?
Yeah, so still dragging it out. Yeah. So let's talk about Grace and Faye for a little bit. Have you enjoyed that storyline this week?
I quite like watching toe rags get their comeuppance, but obviously I've not had my payoff yet because I've just seen toe ragishness.
It's been kind of funny. There's not been amazing acting from the child actors involved. Even like Simon Barlow, who I can usually rely on, he's not been that great this past few days.
No, he's been a bit distracted. Is he doing his GCSEs or something?
So I did enjoy Monday's episode with Sally in. Because she's...
Oh, yeah, she was a righteous bringer of wrath.
Yeah, well, she has arranged this girly night in with Grace and Faye, and I thought it was brilliant when she had this Dirty Dancing DVD, and she was saying how great it was, and then she was like, "Ooh, actually, it's a little bit too racy for you. Let's go up to the attic. I'm sure I've got Spice World up there." So that was me set for that episode. Brilliant episode.
No, you were upset because at the end nobody wanted to watch it.
No, yeah, Spice World was not watched in the end. It's a shame.
This
great
is a
film.
Really excellent cinematic achievement.
And she also decided that Twiglets were a bit of a grown-up snack for Grace and
Faye.
That
was just stupid.
I thought it was funny. I
think it would have been funnier if she had said, "We've got some posh crisps. Oh, maybe they're a bit too..." Twiglets, come on.
Well, Grace...
Twiglets are practically invented for children.
Yeah, and then the whole of the rest of the episode was... and the rest of the week, really, was Grace persuading Faye to turn to the dark side. And the first way of her doing that was trying to convince Tim that they were being burgled. So she leaves a message on Tim's answer phone when Sally's off replacing her Twiglets.
Someone's trying to break in, Dad, come and save us.
Yeah. So Tim rushes round.
They pretend to be scared. They've built a little barricade in front of the patio door. So Tim dismantles it as Sally's walking in, and he's very disappointed. And they all leave her alone. And Tim gets in a huff because he doesn't want any more ammunition. Anna to have any more ammunition to say he's a bad dad, which is very uncharacteristic of him, because usually he would have been like, "Oh, what's the big deal?"
Well, yeah, it was a little bit pot calling the kettle black, wasn't it? After they had that whole storyline about him leaving her there on her own.
Yep.
Has he really learnt his lesson from that storyline, are we supposed to believe? And he's a reformed character.
No.
And then he stormed off and we didn't see him for the rest of the week, did
Brilliant.
We? No. It's great.
On Wednesday, Grace's cousin decides to organise an argument between Anna and Owen by having a midweek gig that the tickets cost £60. Owen just says straight away, "No, Faye, you can't go. I'm sorry, it's a week. It's a school night." So Faye complains to Anna, and Anna lets her go because it's a special occasion. And Anna tries to suck up to him when he comes in, but he still feels undermined about it, which is a bit stupid because he should never have said no without checking with Anna in the first place.
Yeah, because, I mean,
he's
I know
not
that...
not even her stepdad.
No, I mean, at least Anna, even though she's not really Faye's mum, is...
Well, she is her mum, isn't she?
Yeah, but, yeah,
He's got no claim on her whatsoever. She's going out with her mum.
No, well, this whole storyline on Wednesday was just to further the whole Owen doesn't trust Grace, and it's because Anna believes... Grace and Faye are both got good hearts. Owen doesn't, so...
Owen doesn't like anyone except Owen.
Yeah. So Friday then, it was Mary that was in the firing line. I didn't really enjoy this because I thought Mary wasn't a particularly strong character at all in this episode. They kind of... So
I like
far
Mary
this year, they've
full of gusto.
Yeah, exactly. And
they've deflated her.
They've done a really good job kind of building her up this year, especially with all the stuff with Dev, which has been sadly lacking over the past 6 months. And she was just a bit of a gibbering wreck in tonight's episode. It was a bit sad, really.
Yeah.
It was.
Well, explain what happened.
Well, so they're there, Faye and Grace eating their breakfast in the cafe, and Mary kind of says, "Oh, that's not very healthy, you know."
Well, no, they're putting ketchup on it, and she just says,
yeah, that's right.
"Oh, that's not a vegetable, like it's a joke." And Grace decides to get uppity about this and says, "Well, what did you have, fatty?" Basically.
Yeah, and then she decides that they're going to go and throw stones at Mary's camper van. So they're there hiding behind the bush, Grace and Faye and Simon, who...
Simon gets roped in somehow, but then escapes with no comment.
Well, he did have a comment.
No, with no comment.
See, I wouldn't want to be here. Oh, they didn't make a comment about
it. With no... Hopefully it's going to be payoff for this next week.
Yeah, well, I assume there will
Simon
be.
When Simon will say, "Actually, I saw them doing it."
Yeah, because they throw all these stones at it. They graffiti it with
shaving foam.
Yeah, I think that's what it was supposed to be.
And just as they're doing it, the Granny Brigade comes around the corner, headed by Norris, King of the Grannies, and chase them off. And Grace and Faye run in different directions and then claim complete innocence, and that wasn't them ever doing anything wrong. So Owen takes Faye back to Anna, who then asks her, "Did you do that?" And Faye says, "No, Mum, I didn't." And Anna says, "Well, okay, I trust you."
Yeah, I think that Owen was hoping that Anna would give Faye a bit of a good talking to, but she really didn't. She just said, well, let's go and have some fish and chips for tea at the end.
Yeah, so Owen goes and visits Mary, and she is distraught and sort of traumatised by this entire incident because it's given her post-traumatic stress disorder from when she was a kid, and she's bullied in the schoolyard, and she was called Hairy Mary Fat and Scary.
Mm.
It's good having a name you can't rhyme with.
So this is why Mary was so, like I said, a gibbering wreck today, because of her school flashbacks, but I didn't really like it. And I don't think that Mary's particularly going to be in the storyline for much longer. They just needed some kind
Just needed something to throw Owen on the scent of Grace as a wrong'un.
Yeah. I think when I've been reading people online talking about this, they think it's going to end up with Owen gets accused by Faye of hitting her, or maybe he does give her something a slap around the back of the knees or something, or back of the legs.
Yeah, I don't really know where it's going, but I stand by what I said before, which is that if they had only been a few years older, this storyline would be far more interesting, because you can villainize sort of young teen girls far more easily than you can. Yeah. They're just at the slightly wrong age to really be that cretinous, you know what I mean? Like, they're just stupid kids.
Yeah.
And I mean, the worst they can come up with is putting shaving in a motorhome. I mean, goodness gracious.
So, what do you think is going to happen? Do you think, because I think that Faye's probably going to confess. She's going to be, maybe like Simon will say, I saw them do it. Faye will confess to it. But then Grace will say, no, it wasn't me. So, Faye will have to take the rap for Grace, and then, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, That's going to happen in the next few weeks, I guess. Talking about annoying children, we've had Amy with her very own storyline, kind of, this week. She's back in the programme in full force, needing help with her history project. And by the way, if you call it project, then that probably gives you another 5% on the northern test. So he is helping her make this project about World War One, because it's an Armistice Day project. But he gets it all confused, we've discovered on Friday, and he's been cutting out pictures of Hitler and sending her in with a World War II project. Yeah. So that inspires him to go back to college.
I have to say, Amy, what a bloody idiot for not bringing up...
Well, I know.
And also, I hate these things where it's just assumed that it's the parents' job to do the project. You're not marking the bloody parents.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder whether they had this project just because we were coming up to Remembrance Day, or is Amy learning about World War II at school, because she might be of an age where that's her school topic.
World War One, you mean?
Oh yeah, or World War One or World War Two or
what? It's so hard to know which one's which.
Yeah, so she was a bit rubbish, really, that she didn't say anything. But she never says anything, does she, Amy?
No.
But she's mad that she didn't get an A+.
Well, she didn't deserve it.
No, why did she?
She didn't do bugger all.
Yeah, as a teacher, I disapprove of parents doing people's projects for them anyway.
I disapprove of the perpetuation of the idea that it's expected for parents to do projects. Always seems to me that the idea is just on sitcoms.
Yeah.
There was an episode of Desperate Housewives where they were all on like ADHD medication to get all the projects done, weren't they?
Oh yeah. But so Steve has decided that he wants to go back to school after all this, because he doesn't know the difference between World War One and World War Two. So he goes to Weatherfield Community College, was it?
Yeah.
And now he's going to be learning about European history from World War One to the fall of the Berlin Wall. But the whole
3 hours a week.
Yeah,
he says
it's 3 hours a week, but he reveals
you can learn it less than that.
He reveals to Lloyd at the end that it's just a way of getting out of work. So that explains all of that. Because I was
that explains all of the Liz versus Steve moaning about him shirking his responsibility boring plot that we've had to.
I felt a bit sorry for Steve when Michelle and Liz were ganging off on him.
I know Michelle was just a cow to him today for no reason. Like, Steve, what are you doing? Go and do that thing I told you to do.
I think Michelle's a bit jealous that Steve might end up being a bit more qualified than her after the end of this.
I think anyone who's got a certificate from the Weatherfield Community College is automatically more qualified than 90% of the people who work by the bar.
Yeah. So, it's just a way of him getting out of doing extra work, which is just like the Steve that we know and love.
But I think he'll soon learn that education is a job in itself.
So,
bloody blue.
Let's, just before we finished with the street talk today. We have got the Nick storyline for the Platts were mostly just on Monday. Kylie's fed up of moping around and she wants to get back to work as well. So Gail has persuaded her to ask Leanne for a job at the bistro as well. Leanne obviously doesn't like the idea of this because she doesn't want that little slaggy... trollop sister-in-law or whatever, however they're related, work in there. But she makes the decision in the end, thanks to some excellent advice by Gloria, that she can do all the hard work and
she can basically scrub the floors, away while,
do the late night shifts.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Redeem herself for misdeeds.
Yeah. So that's the end of that for now. Was David even in it this week? I don't think he was.
There's no
Tina, I tell you. That was good.
Phew.
I think she's going to be back in it next week, though. Right, so... enjoy Coronation Street on the whole this week?
Yeah, it's all right.
Good that there's no Tina.
I want to see Jane again.
I've enjoyed the Roy storyline. I've kind of enjoyed Grace, if only it's a little bit different. I'm kind of pleased that the Steve storyline is going somewhere new. Adult education hasn't been a story that they've brought up or a plot that they've brought up in Coronation Street before.
Courses and getting stationery. Ooh, new notebook.
So yeah, it's been fairly good week. And we've had Todd return as well. We'll have to see how that goes.
So exciting.
See how it unfolds.
New person.
So let's talking about Todd, go and have a bit of a rundown about his past history on the street in Character Profile. So for this week's Character Profile, we're going to be talking all about Todd Grimshaw. He has returned to the street this week after 10 years of pretty much inactivity, although he was in it, been back and forth a few times there. I thought that some of our listeners probably hadn't even watched Todd when he was in it before, so they would appreciate being caught up with kind of what...
His activities.
His previous activities.
His biography.
Yeah, so... he was born on the 13th of January 1985. His mum was Eileen, of course, and Jason's his half-brother. He had one child, although he didn't last very long, as we'll find out soon, Billy Platt, was born and died in 2004. Todd first appeared on the 14th of January 2001, and so far he has been in 386 episodes, which doesn't put him in the top 100 most frequently shown characters.
Working
but
on
he'll,
it.
He'll be up there soon. He is played by Bruno Langley. So I found it really, really difficult this week to do some research on Todd. I thought it'd be easy because he was only in it for a few years, but there's very little information about his backstory.
You had the right time, didn't
you? Or what there is, a lot of it didn't have dates in it as well, so I think I've got it sorted now. But basically, so in 2001, he arrives in Weatherfield, is living at number 11 with Eileen and Jason, and his first conquest on the street was Candice Stowe. So did you like Candice?
She had a funny nose.
Oh yeah, you've said that before, haven't you? That's your thing you say about Candice.
That's my
thoughts. She was a little bit too... bit too much for him, a bit too in your face, I suppose.
I quite liked all that gang of little girlies. We don't have anything like that at the moment.
Grace and Faye are the closest they've got, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Or Sophie, she's a bit too old now, isn't she, I suppose. So Eileen thought that Candice was a bit too mature for him, a bit too experienced in the ways of love. But actually, I think Candice was supposed to be a virgin as well. A lot of the storylines around Todd for the first few years was about him losing his virginity. They agreed at the end of 2001 that they'd spend the night together, but then they decide they're not ready for it because they were only young. In 2002, Todd found out that Jason had just slept with Candice, so he punched him, and then he basically spent most of the rest of the year flitting between Candice and Sarah Louise. I think when Todd first went out with Candice, she had said that she actually fancies Jason, and Sarah Louise was saying, "Oh, I prefer Todd," but because Jason wasn't interested in Candice, that's why she agreed to go out with Todd. I think it was something like that. So throughout 2002, Todd was kind of flitting between Candice and Sarah Louise, but by late summer, I think it was, Sarah Lou was going out with bad boy Aidan Critchley.
I have no memory of this man.
2002.
I remember Candice's face, like...
You must have definitely watched Aidan,
I'm
because
sure
he
I
was
did.
The person that... Yeah. Richard Hillman framed, wasn't he? But yeah, I've got a little memory of him.
We did a podcast about it.
What, Aidan was so bad that he stole
what he looks like.
He stole Ken's car and took Sarah Louise out joyriding, and they had a crash.
Oh gosh.
And Todd missed out his Oxford University open day to visit Sarah Lou in hospital afterwards, so he still loved her. He said he would give up his university ambitions to stay with her, but she said she doesn't want a boyfriend right now. So he was like, okay, right, I need to get back on with my studies then. And he got a bit of extra work, extra help with his work from Ken. So he was always the more studious of the two brothers. And I always thought it was kind of interesting that they had a character that actually had some GCSEs and A-levels.
Or even ambition, like academic ambition.
Yeah.
Rather than, oh, no, my own business.
Yeah, because in Coronation Street, it's a rare breed indeed for people to want to do that. And it's kind of a... In a way, it's a shame that he's now back working, packing in the factory.
It's weird. It's just like at Coronation Street is kind of deliberately anti-intellectual because Ken is like the most intellectual character on the whole street and people are always taking the mick out of him.
And Brian as well.
Yeah, and it's not seen as like a good trait to have. Really odd.
Mm.
Because all the people that are involved in writing and producing it must have some level of formal training or education.
Well, you know, maybe the Steve storyline is a way for them to turn that around.
It's like they think that universities don't exist above London or something. It's kind of doing them a disservice, I think. Yeah. I don't know.
So 2003 then. So by the time Sarah Lou reached 16, Todd was back with her again. And that was when he lost his virginity to her. Obviously, Sarah Louise had already... done the deed because she'd had Bethany by then.
Oh, daring me.
That storyline got 9 complaints, Todd and Sarah Louise having sex together. No, I didn't complain at all.
You thought it was good, didn't you?
But I think they, whoever it is you complained to, said, well, it showed that Sarah Louise and Todd had this developing relationship and it wasn't like it was a one-night stand or anything, and in fact that they were quite mature about discussing it.
It was committed teenage sex. It's fine.
Well, they were both old enough because Sarah Louise was 2 years younger than Todd, so he was 17 or 18 by this point, so I don't think people would bat an eyelid about that now. The same...
What Hollyoaks is based on, isn't it? That's the whole plot of it.
Yeah.
I don't know. Or Skins. I've never seen either.
Well, because this was early 2003, this was the end of the Richard Hillman saga, and Gail went off to Canada for a little bit to recover after that. So Sarah was living with her dad, Martin, and then Todd moved in with them as well. When Gail came back and found out that Sarah Lou and Todd were shacked up together, she banned her from seeing him until her exams were done. Although she did relent, as long as Sarah did plenty of revision.
Just do revision and it'll be fine.
So, he still had plans at the moment to go to Oxford together. And
I think I'm somewhat punching above his weight, considering what we've learned about him today.
Well, at the time, I think it was painted as like he would be going to Oxford. And Eileen always used to go around crowing that she had a son that was being able that would go to Oxford University. But it didn't work out in the end, I don't think. But in the meantime, they decided to rent the bookie's flat. Gail and Eileen disapproved of this, and Gail even went so far as to call the social services to complain about them being unfit parents to Bethany. But to be fair, Bethany did electrocute herself on the day that Sarah Louise got GCSE results.
Yeah, she electrocuted herself, okay.
Yeah, doesn't do it. Sarah Lou, you can't blame them.
Can't be held responsible for what a stupid child does.
The end of the summer was when Nick came back from Canada as well. Todd struck up a bit of a friendship with him, but he made a bad move.
Bad move.
By trying to kiss him.
Oh my goodness.
This was shocking, the most shocking storyline ever on Coronation Street. 14 million viewers
were
tuned
shocked.
In to see Todd.
14 million smelling salts.
I think that whole thing with the kiss turned out to be a bit of something of nothing. Because
it was. I remember watching it. I'm sure I watched this.
Yeah.
And I remember going, was that it?
Yeah, because Nick was just kind of there sleepy on the sofa and they'd just had a bit too much to drink. And Todd goes in for the kiss and Nick's like, what are you doing? So it wasn't even a proper kiss at all.
He brushed his lips, basically.
It got 16 complaints, though. So I'd like to know what the complaint actually was.
Not enough tongue.
So Nick obviously went and told Sarah, I think your boyfriend's gay. So Sarah temporarily leave, but he persuaded her to come back, and he became a bit more amorous towards her to compensate, even saying that they should try for their own baby. Before long, Sarah Louise was pregnant again.
Bad move.
Yeah, it was a bad move, because the baby ended up dying after it was born. But before that, the end of 2003 storyline with Sarah Louise and Todd was that they had to move out of their flat because Peter had put the rent up. So they lodged with Bethany's grandmother, Brenda. Cause
by Fat Brenda.
It wasn't Fat Brenda.
I think it was.
Well, it was Bethany's dad's mum, because I think Bethany's dad, Neil, had died in his own little car crash by then. So
it's all the rage.
She was... She kind of thought that Bethany was the only link that she had left to her dear son Neil, and she went a bit crazy by the end of 2003, early 2004, because she kidnapped Bethany and said, "Oh, we're going to be with your daddy now," climbed up to the top of the church and threatened to jump off it. So she was a little bit nuts. It was all okay, though. They managed to get her down.
That was in 2004.
That was in 2004, yeah.
Sarah and Todd get engaged that year, but Todd embarks on a secret relationship with Carl the nurse, and he gets a job as a hospital porter.
Yeah.
And he nearly gets caught by Sarah snogging Carl in Canal Street, and again a few months later in their flat. That's naughty.
This is when the shine really did wear off Todd for me, because up until then he was kind of nice. He reminded me of me a little bit, kind of a little bit nerdy, but just kind of a friendly kind of guy. But then when he
super intelligent, incredibly handsome material, of course, little bit gay.
No. And then when he started becoming all kind of secretive and having these affairs and sort of lying about it to Sarah, I wasn't
naughty.
A fan of him
I
anymore.
Would not be impressed if you did that. So, Carl, Eileen and Katie, Harris, of course, tried to get Todd to break up with Sarah, but he's determined to stick with her for the baby's sake, because you should always stay together, because an unhappy home is better than a broken home.
But in the end, Carl dumped him, prompting him to finally admit the truth to Sarah Louise that he is gay. So all of this year was kind of his coming out storyline. I thought it was fairly well done. Because it was all about kind of the struggles with him coming to terms with it and not being able to admit it to himself, and then he had to admit it to like his mum and then to his girlfriends.
It was very much a storyline of his time, wasn't it? I think if something like this happened now and they had a character struggling with their sexual identity, it would be a bit sort of passé and like cliched and done to death, wouldn't it?
Yeah, because back then we didn't even have Sean in the programme, or maybe he was just kind of coming into it and...
It's quite funny to think it was only 2004, but now it's like you wouldn't even bother having a storyline about a character coming out of the closet.
Well, I think he still would.
I don't know. I mean, the only person I can think of that has gone through something similar is Sophie, but I just think it would be a bit sensationalised to do it now, because it's like being gay isn't that shocking. Do you know what I mean? Like, you can't do this storyline without making it a big deal to be gay. Whereas nowadays, I think it's not a big deal.
It wasn't so much a big deal when Sophie and Sean were together,
it's good.
I don't think.
It's progress.
Yeah. But anyway, Eileen and Gail ended up
having
that fight.
Have a fight about it anyway, yeah. Just because. And Nick, Jason and Todd have a fight.
They're all having a fight about it.
Brilliant. Jason kind of finds it quite hard to accept this, because he is one of the most masculine, like, young men on the street.
Yeah.
Even though he was Mr. Gay Weatherfield, he can't really come to terms with it. But Eileen says, "I'm proud of Todd anyway," which is probably what grinds Jason's gears even further about this.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, a week later, Sarah has to have an emergency cesarean section, and she refuses to let Todd see the baby who dies.
Oh, yeah.
Which is very sad. And then Todd decides to retry his A-levels, which is traumatic as well. And he leaves the street after discovering Sarah in bed with Jason.
Yeah, that nasty Jason. So that was when Bruno Langley quit the show to pursue other roles. Like, he was in Doctor Who. Do you remember him in Doctor Who?
He played Adam.
Yes, he was in the Dalek episode. He was like a super intelligent boy genius. And then he went and he was... The Adams character
was that when Russell T Davis was still in charge. So he was
It was in series one.
He was a gay Superboy genius then.
No, I don't think he was a gay Superboy genius. There were lots of gay characters in Doctor Who back then, but I don't think Adam was. He was like the example of somebody who joined to be the Doctor's companion, but exploited the privileges of being a time traveller because he went and got this little flap put in his head that he could use to like plug himself into a computer and download a load of information into his brain, and then the Doctor was like, no, that's it, you're going to go back, and he dumped him back. So that was Bruno's brief little role there. I think he's probably done stuff on stage as well. I haven't seen him very much TV, have you? I don't think I've seen him in anything else.
To be fair, we don't watch things that require lots of extras apart from Doctor Who.
Yeah, but this Adam character as well, I've got in the notes, came from the future. He came from 2012.
What kind of crazy land is that? Were they all like, did they have like little helmets and float?
No,
I'm from 2012.
I think they did a pretty good job of making 2012 look pretty normal in this show.
I proved earlier that I'm from 2012.
Oh, yeah. The Corrie producers decided not to kill Todd off because they would allow him to return if he wanted to. Tony Wood, the producer at the time, said that Bruno has been an asset to the show and his portrayal of the sexually confused Todd has been superb. So he did want to come back, and he made a brief appearance for a couple of weeks in 2007, which is when he made up with Jason and Sarah Lou after Sneaky David invited him to Jason's stag do. So this was when David was trying to ruin Jason and Sarah's wedding. One of the ways he did it was driving into the canal. Another way was inviting Todd back to put the cat among the pigeons, but it didn't work because they made up, and Todd ended up being Jason's best man. In 2011, he was in it for one episode, I think, around Easter time, which is when he turned up with his millionaire boyfriend, Jules, and he was embarrassed by how low market Weatherfield was compared to where they live in London. So this is where we kind of got to see the beginnings of the current Todd that's come back, where he's got ideas of other station a little bit. He's like, didn't want to stay with Eileen. He'd booked into a hotel, and Eileen called him a slob. Jason pinned him up against the wall.
Just like Todd.
I don't like Todd at all. A little bit. I said I was a little bit.
Your parents' house is very posh compared to my parents' house.
Yeah. Well, they'd made it by the end of the episode anyway. So, that was Todd. And a little catch-up of what he's done so far.
Wow. What an amazing character. It's funny to think that he's only in it for a couple of years ago.
Yeah. I was kind of...
You really should have hung on to that millionaire guy.
I was quite surprised how few years he was in it before. He didn't really have that many storylines.
No, it's weird. It's because he's related to one of the stalwart characters.
Yeah, and they always talk about him, and there's that picture of him in the background. But yeah, all his main storylines pretty much were, where he was going out with Candice for a bit, he was going out with Sarah, and then he turned out that he was gay. Yeah. Mm. But I always thought that he had homosexuality kind of put upon him because it was only a few...
You should have said thrust upon him.
Thrust upon him. Because when he came into the show, he was definitely not gay. And I'm sure he wasn't kind of created as a character that would turn gay. Because I think it was a few years down the line that the producers
said... Oh, I think it was far too early for them to have even considered that for...
Yeah.
I don't think they were even thinking of that kind of storyline.
So, because one of the other things about Todd was that he kind of didn't want to just jump into bed with any girl that he saw, which is, again, unlike lots of other characters. And I think people were taking the mickey out of him for a bit because he was still a virgin. And then it turned out in the end, they kind of wrote it as, he didn't want to sleep with Candice because he was secretly gay. And I thought that was a bit of a shame when they weren't saying he was doing it because he had morals or...
Yeah, like no teenage lad would ever choose to save his virginity for somebody important or want to...
Yeah, because that's what he said at the time, but they almost rewrote it in a way. It was like saying, he wasn't really interested in girls after all. So it was a bit of a shame, really.
And
he's
not... is he... I don't know if he's gay himself.
Not Bruno, no, I don't think so.
Which is quite... No, he's not. He's got a wife called Victoria.
Oh, yeah. So, no.
Oh, no, he doesn't. I'm sorry. Sorry, Bruno. He and Victoria have ended their relationship, but they share the upbringing of their son.
Okay.
But it's quite controversial to have a character who is straight playing a gay character.
Yeah, I wonder what he thought when he was told that that's what he'd have to do. I suppose probably if he's a good old actor, he'd say, I'll rise to the challenge.
I can be gay, darling.
Well, he certainly plays a different kind of person than Sean, for example, who is kind of very stereotypical.
He's kind of playing like an uptight, bitchy, gay character at the moment.
He is now, yeah. Before, he was like just confused.
Confused gay character.
Yeah, just coming to terms with his sexuality, whereas Sean, back at the time, was very in your face.
I don't think Bruno could ever play a very out-and-out gay character.
No.
Because he's just not camp.
No.
But that's good, though. You don't need every gay character to be camp.
No, well, Marcus isn't, is he? He's definitely more like Marcus than Sean.
Yeah. But then again, you don't want to say, you know, that's big. That's a big part of gay culture. You don't want to say that that's not legitimate as much as being not camp.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's really difficult to say, isn't it?
Mm.
But I don't know. Yeah, like I say, having a non-gay character... Playing a gay character is not really seen as very progressive.
No, it's like having Hayley being played by someone that's not actually a transsexual, isn't it? Some people think that that's not right. She should have been played by a transsexual.
The character's been in it for so long that I don't know how many transgender actresses there even are.
No, I don't know.
I don't know.
Not sure. I do wonder how big... If they'd have waited a few years for this coming out storyline, whether it would have made such a fuss, or is it the fact that they
wanted to make a fuss?
Yeah, but is it because they kind of got it out the way with Todd's kissing and Nick and that it paved the way for the likes of Sean, or could they have?
That's an interesting question.
Because they kind of had to do it first. It's like, oh, their first black character in Coronation Street. Oh, the first disabled character in Coronation Street. Oh, the first gay character in Coronation Street.
The first woman.
first transsexual character in Coronation Street. Because it just seems absolutely crazy now to think about all the fuss that it was caused. Is that just because we're more lenient or more understanding now? Or is it because, well, it's happened now in Coronation Street and the world didn't collapse, people didn't stop watching it?
It's really difficult because we come from quite a liberal and kind of artsy-fartsy, limp-wristed kind of background of people that are quite, you know, your parents went to university, my mum's a teacher.
Yeah.
Quite liberal, whereas I don't know what you would have thought about it if you came from a more traditional conservative background that didn't necessarily agree. Mm. Not saying that traditional or conservative people don't agree with
it. Was interesting as well,
it's just like I say, we don't really know, we can only view it from our perspective.
Well, we did get to see the perspective of other characters on the show, so we got to see like Gail being a bit homophobic about it, although really she was just being protective of Sarah Louise. We got to see Jason, who's like the caveman of the street, showing that he wouldn't accept it. So,
and they were all treated very negatively because it was obviously trying to promote.
Yeah. I mean, Tony Warren is the creator of Coronation Street is gay, so...
That's what I was... Yeah, like the culture of...
Bette Lynch is the gay
show
icon.
Well, is quite...
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, gay-friendly, I would say.
Yeah, so I'm glad it's all out in the open now, anyway.
But, like, with Todd returning, the future of gay characters on the street, what does it hold?
I don't know. I wonder whether they'll ever have gay characters that... will be gay, but that won't be the whole thing about them. That won't be the storyline about them. They just will be gay and it won't get mentioned because they'll have a storyline as a business, or they'll have a storyline of a family or whatever.
Yeah, but no matter what happens, they'll have to have relationships and affairs and stuff.
I guess
like
they will
every
if it's
single character has had, I mean, unless you're talking about Emily. Are they going to get in some kind of really old gay man?
Well, that they did. That's what Gail's dad was.
Yeah, but even that was part of his storyline. I don't know. I think it would be good to have a character who's gay. It wasn't like the whole reason they were in it is because they are the gay one.
Yeah.
That's why I got a bit annoyed with like the storyline when we had Jenna and Mandy come in, and their storyline was the racism storyline that they got involved with Lloyd.
Yeah.
But you can't ignore that aspect of your identity when you're a part of a minority that gets discriminated against, because it is important to talk about it, especially when there's so much discrimination that still goes on and people think it doesn't exist, like sexism towards women and equal pay and stuff, and people don't believe that it's still a thing, but I can assure you that it is.
It'd be interesting if they had a character that they brought in and was in it for like a year, and then it was just revealed that they were gay, and then maybe they lived off of the street or something, so we didn't get to see anything about them apart from kind of that they were friends with somebody on the street
but
or something.
But what would be the point? Would you just trying to be proving a point that...
Yeah, I guess so.
You'd have to, like, have a character in it who'd never had any relationships with anybody, any characters at all, just, like, going off in a taxi with their girlfriend or boyfriend and giving him a kiss on the cheek or going, I've got to leave, I'm going to go marry my...
They almost did it with Jenna, didn't they? Because it wasn't made clear for a few months into Jenna's storyline that she was gay.
No, but they didn't, because it was her major conflict that she had with her mum.
Yeah, right then. fine, you win.
But, like, you, again, you can't sweep it under the carpet, because you will have these conflicts with people.
Yeah.
No, we say, oh, it's brilliant, it's really nice, everyone's so accepting of it, but if we were gay ourselves, we're sure we'd have a completely different perspective on how tolerant people are or not.
Yeah.
And there was that court case, I don't remember when it was, this year, or I think it was a few years ago, about that couple that who didn't want to have gay people staying at their bed and breakfast, who tried to go to court for the right to discriminate against who could stay at their establishment. And that's...
Free speech.
It's not free speech.
Free.
I can write no gays wherever I like. It's free speech.
Right, I think we've kind of gone off the subject to Todd now, so... said all we had. I'm kind of looking forward to seeing what they do with him now he's back, but I don't want them to turn him into a horrible villain, because he was always a nice character. And even though it's kind of interesting to see
the
character acting in a different way.
I'd quite like to see him being a villain. Who's a villain at the moment? Grace.
Grace.
he can go into cahoots with Grace.
He's obviously going to try and split Marcus and Maria up.
You must know a secret.
Well, no, I just assume that he will, because they're doing nothing with this Marcus and Maria storyline. It also seems that
I think Marcus would be too smart.
Yeah, that could be true, but it depends. Is he too? But he might fall for Todd. It's not like Todd's tricking.
I mean, he is quite handsome, isn't he?
It's not that Todd might be tricking Marcus.
He's got those little hamster cheeks. That's so adorable.
Todd's not tricking Marcus. Marcus is just going to fall for him. And
I think he'd see right through him in reality.
He's got Sean wrapped around his little finger as well at the moment, hasn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah. That makes me think that Marcus won't go for him, though, because Marcus is always the sensible one compared to Sean's kind of like, fantasy world kind of...
He follows
his
heart, doesn't he?
Sean is like the male Julie, almost.
Yeah, that's true, actually.
They'd make a perfect couple.
Right, let's move on from the character profile and talk a bit of news in the cabin now. So, lots of news in the cabin this week. First one is breaking news from today. Very excited when we heard this. They've decided to open up the Coronation Street sets to members of the public.
I don't think they decided. March. I think they listened to our podcast and they realised that they only had one choice.
No. Well, people must have been asking for it because they're closing.
It was a ridiculous idea to not.
Yeah, they still haven't said when they're closing down or stopping filming in the street, but they're opening it up in March anyway, so we can assume that by March we'll have moved on to this new Media City set, and members of the public, including us, will be able to go and visit it.
I bet you won't get tickets.
No, we will. The fact that it's open for 6 months, we'll easily be able to get in.
We'll only be able to go at the weekends.
No, all the summer holidays or something.
But kids.
It'll be fine. Kids won't want to go there. It'll be all full of people like us. Yeah.
There's probably loads of little girls with pieces of Simon on their walls.
So that's very, very exciting. And it was definitely the right decision to make, because I think if they'd have like knocked it down or whatever without giving people the opportunity to visit, such a missed opportunity.
I think that they should leave it open forever. I think it's a piece of history. Honestly... It's a piece of cultural history.
Should
it really,
be listed
really is.
Cultural significance.
It is the most significant television set in the history of
this
television,
country, at least.
In the world,
Do
I think, because it's the longest running original soap.
Yeah.
I honestly believe that, and I'm not even that bothered.
They didn't use that set right since the beginning, though, did they? It was only since the 80s. But you're right, the Coronation Street is a very significant location.
We just do like we do with everything in this country. We just look down on our own achievements and choose to poo-poo everything because we're too cool to like care about stuff. Mm-hmm. But really, we should be moaning about this, and because it's like pop culture, people think it's disposable. Look what happened with all the old episodes of Doctor Who that they just threw away because they thought they weren't important and they're not relevant to anybody, and now they're scrambling trying to find them. And blimmin', where did they find those episodes?
Oh, I can't remember where it was. No, it was in South America. I think they just found some recently. But yeah, anyway,
that's my rant. They should leave it open. I strongly believe this. They should leave it open.
Well, we'll have a word with them when we go.
I'm gonna have a word with several people, more than one word each,
and we'll have to do some kind of special on location podcast or recording, like, or photos.
We're here
or something.
Live,
very exciting,
from Coronation Street. I can see all the things, and I understand where everything is.
Yeah, it makes
to
totally
else.
Makes sense. All right, second bit of news. I'm a Celebrity Bizarre. Starting soon, and hotly tipped at the moment, apparently, is Michael Lavelle. We know that he's not going to be in Coronation Street before Christmas, so he's now got his court case out of the way. He's just sitting there twiddling his thumbs, replacing his car windscreen every now and again. So
what else are you going
to
do?
Yeah, it starts on the 17th of November anyway, so we don't have to wait very long to find out. But apparently he's been flying off to other places like Dubai or something. I can't remember where I read it, but it's almost certain that he's going to be on it, apparently.
Really?
Yeah.
That's a mistake.
I don't think he's going to cope with it, really. I mean, Helen Flanagan was great TV last year, not that we even watched it, but I think he might come across as a bit of a moany old fuddy-duddy if he goes on I'm a Celebrity.
It's an insanely terrible idea because it's insensitive to his situation, which is a tenuous one, as we know from the news that his car was vandalised.
Yeah.
And it's not always easy to portray yourself in a positive way on the show.
He's deliberately
set up to challenge and upset people.
Yeah, he thinks that by going on there, I imagine, he's going to like win the hearts of the public and get them to see that actually he's quite a nice guy after all, but I don't know. Don't know whether it's going to work.
I just think there's too many opportunities for abject failure and the stakes are far too high for him.
Yeah. I mean, what's Bruce Jones doing now that Big Brother's finished? That didn't exactly kickstart his career again, did it?
Nope.
But anyway, we'll be bringing you more on that next week, probably. Is it? When's the 17th?
Ooh,
that's going to be after next episode, yeah. I think. So, we'll wait and see for that one. Now, before the Coronation Street set opening was our top story for today, I was going to have Coronation Street and the Cobbles of Doom, which made me very, very excited to hear about when I read about it on the internet this week. As part of the Who at 50 Festival in Manchester, Doctor Who and the Cobbles of Doom is going to be this little event that runs on the 20th November in Manchester at the Tourist Bar. And it's an event that's got Phil Collinson is going to be there, who, as you may know, before he produced Coronation Street, was a producer on Doctor Who, and he's going to be there talking.
Didn't you know that?
Yeah, he's going to be celebrating or talking about the links between Coronation Street and Doctor Who. I'm not sure how many links there are. How many?
It was made in Britain.
How many Daleks have been on the street? I don't know. But
I think Blanche was probably the head of the Daleks.
I think it's going to be a little bit like the Corrie Fest, really, but more Doctor Who-ish. Because when we went to the Corrie Fest this year, the theme of that was Coronation Street in the 70s, pretty much, mm-hmm. wasn't it? And this is going to be Coronation Street and Doctor Who.
Having watched every episode of both, due to you forcing me to...
Only the new series of Doctor Who.
I have to say that even though I would say I like that both those shows, I couldn't be more uninterested in the idea of combining these
You're
two
crazy.
Shows.
You're absolutely mad.
I can't see how either benefit from comparison.
But the tickets are only £3. If we lived up north, I would be going. Unfortunately,
okay,
we can't.
I'm sorry. I'm obviously not the target audience for this.
Yeah, well, hopefully we'll be able to have... there'll be some people that will write a blog for the Coronation
Where
Street
is
blog
it
or something.
Be again?
It's at the Tourist Bar in Manchester. And if you live up there, if you are
If you're
between 70% and 100% Northern, you can get your tickets from wegottickets.com, and all profits for the event are going to be donated to the Alzheimer's charity as well. So very exciting event. Just a shame that I can't go. Gemma's breathing a sigh of relief.
I would go. I just wouldn't know what to expect at all.
Couple of awards, not for Coronation Street itself particularly, but Jimmy Harkishin has won an award this week, so good on him. The Sophia Hack Services to British Television Award, which is the first ever Asian Media Award. So there's these new award ceremonies popping up all over the place. So this Asian Media Awards are obviously to recognise people from the Asian community that are making it big on TV and radio and whatever. And he's won the Services to British Television Awards, and that was named after Sophia Hack, who played Poppy Morales in Coronation Street a few years ago, who sadly died of cancer age 41 this year. So I'm kind of guessing that one of the reasons why Jimmy won the award was because of the Coronation Street link there. But I mean, good that somebody from Corrie has won that already. I don't know how much she actually does to promote the Asian community, but oh well, it's another award, so well done
to
him.
I'm sure he'll put it on his shelf with pride.
Well, he has said, "I feel really privileged and honoured to have been awarded the Sophia Hack Award for Services to British Television. When you win an award like this, it means you really must be getting on a bit." Oh, that's a bit sad. It's likely people are getting these Lifetime Achievement Awards way before they leave a programme.
I'll have one. I'll have the Lifetime Achievement Awards for podcasting. I'll have the inaugural ones.
Last night, Anthony Cotton won an award as well. He got the Entertainer of the Year Award at last night's Stonewall Award, which celebrates those who have made a positive impact on the lives of lesbian, gay and bisexual people in Britain. What does Anthony Cotton do apart from Coronation Street?
Oh my goodness.
He was doing the Anthony Cotton Show a few years ago, but
I'm sure that if you were lesbian, gay or bisexual, you would understand that he has had, you know, you wouldn't know, would you?
No, I wouldn't know. I really don't know. That's what I want to know. I don't know what he's done, but he's not been in Coronation Street much in his past year, so he's had time to do other things.
I don't think he realised the impact that it can have just to have somebody on the television that you can relate to. I mean, it sounds stupid, but as a girl, watching TV programmes, there was always the girl character, right? There's a group of people, there was always the girl. And I always identified with that character, even if I had nothing in common with her other than our, you know, the fact that we were both girls. So if I didn't have somebody like that, I would be really thrilled when they came along. It's the same as being in a minority.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, well done to Anthony Cotton and to Jimmy.
And he was also in Queer as Folk.
Yeah, I know. I just want to know what he's been doing recently to have won that award.
He's been in a theatre.
Oh, okay then.
I don't know.
Bit of panto. Here's a funny bit of news. Coronation Street and Emmerdale are now going to be available to watch on Virgin Atlantic planes. The catch-up service, which is brilliant, because when you go on holiday, what you want to be doing when you're on the way back is
catching up
on Coronation Street, because it's a long flight over to America. It's like 8 hours. We wouldn't need what we when we
no,
go.
No, I mean we'd call the podcast. We'd be like, "Can you turn the engines off, please? Because it's really loud."
Yeah, we'd have to be there on the planes making notes, and the air hostess is like, "What are you doing?"
Like, sorry, which can you can I rewind it?
Yeah, you
pause
it.
Pause.
Yeah, so that's good. It's a good idea to put catch up things like that, and why not some of the biggest programs in the country?
What about EastEnders?
No, they're not showing EastEnders.
What a snub! That's such a snub, isn't it? Well, yeah. Is it because obviously BBC World hold the rights, daddy bloody blue?
It's because EastEnders is too depressing, and you don't want a load of depressed people on the flight because they just chuck themselves out the door.
I pay money for them to make EastEnders. If I don't watch it, but I should at least be able to watch it at any available opportunity I wish.
Last bit of news.
And they should not demolish Coronation Street.
On your high horse today. Last bit of news.
And Michael Lavelle should not go on I'm a Celebrity, I'm advising
him. Shut up now. Last bit of news. TV Choice Awards have now...
TV Choice Awards.
You say
fantastic.
This. You ought to talk. You say this bit of news.
TV Choice Awards have a Soap Moment of the Year category. Is this a new thing?
I think... So. I can't remember now. There's so many awards ceremonies, I lose count.
It just sounds like a hashtag. Soap Moment of the Year.
Yeah, but you can vote for it. Well, the category that's been nominated for the moment of the year is Roy and Hayley's cancer storylines. It's not really a moment.
No, my favourite moment was when they found out that she had cancer. That was my favourite soap moment of the year.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, so I suggest that if you think that this was the best moment of the year for you, that you can vote at www.tvchoicemagazine.co.uk. /soap moment of the year.
If you can put forward nominations, I might vote for that moment when Ryan left. I'd definitely vote for that.
What would I vote for? I don't even know.
Rover's fire.
Was that this year?
That was this year. Lewis's exit.
Was that this year?
Yeah, that was this year.
I'd vote for that then. Why is soap? Why Roy and Haley's cat? Like you say,
it's not a moment.
If you're going to have a if you're going to have something called a moment, which is defined as a snapshot of time. Don't do something that's continually progressing over a series of months.
It hasn't finished yet. It could just go downhill. But anyway.
It's brilliant so far.
Go and vote anyway, because you don't want like EastEnders or Emmerdale winning those awards.
I think you should let them win, just out of principle, to have this stupid award that means nothing.
No.
Oh, congratulations for soap moment of the year.
Right.
TV Choice Awards.
Let's do some feedback.
They don't have a podcast category, so I don't care.
Feedback. Feedback time. First off, I'd like to say hello to new listener David Lloyd that contacted us on Facebook this week.
Poor David, he probably is regretting it now. He's probably listened to me ranting.
He's probably at home going, oh, name check. So hello to you. Right, so we'll start off with our Tivor email of the week. She said, while I can believe that Beth might be able to sneak out the knicker patterns for Sinead, I don't see how she's going to get the material out the door. She might be able to smuggle it if it's already cut, but isn't someone going to notice? Well, I hope there can be some kind of comedy scene with Beth stuffing material up her dress or something.
Exactly.
A bit of extra padding in there. I also think that the ultimate end of Sinead sewing knickers is that she'll prove to be far better than Beth and gets hired, wins Employee of the Month and the £100. Yeah, that is quite likely, actually. There's only three weeks to go in November, so it's got to move fast. I was sad that we didn't get to see any of Beth and Sinead this week. That would have made it a really good week. But yeah. Sinead getting hired in the factory is quite possible. It'd be a shame, really.
I don't know why she isn't, but yeah, like you say, it'd be boring.
Yeah, I quite like the idea that somebody's got a soap shop.
She should open a soap shop.
Yeah, it's like with Tracy and a florist's shop. I quite like the idea that that's kind of an interesting business to have. But she should just open a soap shop.
Do you think Dev would get annoyed if somebody opened a florist shop?
Why?
Because he does such a roaring trade in flowers. He seems to sell that and biscuits.
Yeah. Tivor also enjoyed the scenes with Liz, Deirdre and Eileen last week with them doing all that karaoke in the bar because it was so real.
Yeah, that's why we like the Beth and Sinead stuff, because it's not like dramatic high drama and
yeah,
it's just silly nonsense.
Yeah.
Like everyday folk.
Yeah, more of that. Talking about silly nonsense, our question of the week this week was a bit of nonsensical, but it ended up being quite popular because it's Movember this week,
when you even know what it's about.
Yeah, it's about male health awareness. It's testicular cancer and things like that. Raising money for prostate cancer, is it? Okay.
Well, I think any kind of male.
Yeah, so men across the world are growing moustaches to raise money for that.
And some just coincidentally.
Yeah, we've got a few people at work that are doing that. So I wanted to know who in Coronation Street should grow a moustache, because we haven't got Kevin around at the moment to fly the moustache flag. We haven't got Bill. We haven't got Jim. And last time Jim was in it, he didn't even have a moustache. So I think we need to have more moustaches on Coronation Street.
I like the way you say moustache.
Moustache.
Like I say moustache.
It's like in that South Park, isn't it? With the Canadian. Would you like a moustache? go on, read some responses out, Gemma.
Karen says, maybe a ginger stash would make Chesney more manly. A little something like Lenny McDonald, or Lanny McDonald, the biggest gingerous moustache in hockey.
Yes, and now we obviously didn't know who that person was, so Karen very kindly put a link to a page about Lanny McDonald.
Awesome.
He's got big moustache.
Who's that guy out of Asterix? Is it Obelisk?
Yeah, Obelisk is. Yeah. He has. Yeah, that was hilarious. Dee said, Mary. When I put the question in, I thought, how many people are going to say women? My first thought was Emily growing a little wispy one, but nobody even said that.
She probably does.
Yeah. Dee would like to see Dev with a moustache, though, as they say, be careful what you ask for. He might end up looking like he should be acting in a very different kind of role. Cue kinky music.
I think you're supposed to actually put kinky music in there.
Oh, I'll have to edit some in afterwards.
Caroline says, Peter, he could make even a moustache look hot. What show are you watching?
Didn't when he came back from LA, what has he even got? What's
you
he got at the moment?
You thought he looked
hunky? No, he's got...
When he came back from LA, Caroline, I agree, he looks so
He's got hot. A beard at the moment,
he
hasn't
did
he,
actually
still?
Look pretty respectable. Well, not respectable, but he's looked a lot worse than when he came back from LA. He was very... He had a kind of... Designer stubble, didn't he?
Yeah, he still got that though, hasn't he? The Coronation Street blog.
I think the Weatherfields rubbed off on him too much.
Coronation Street blog said that Fat Brenda should, that maybe that maybe like they should have Fat Brenda with a little wispy moustache, and that's all we see of her. So like,
what a moustache!
A little wispy one. Like,
how would you engineer this?
I don't know. Really, there's extreme close up on her upper lip every time they want to have Fat
like,
Brenda appearing.
Yeah, love, your cab's just coming.
They should.
And then she wipes a biscuit crumb out of her whiskers.
Yeah, that could be a way of featuring in the programme while still retaining the mystery of Fat Brenda. She'd
I'd
just be known by this little wispy moustache.
I'd rather it be more mysterious than that. Scotty Boy said, David Platt, a little one with curly ends that he can twirl while tying ladies to railway tracks.
He hasn't done that one yet. That
he
could
really
be a good
should
one.
Do that.
Yeah.
Who would he tie up, Leanne or Kylie?
Oh,
Kylie, if I can't have you, no one can.
He should tie up a Kylie and then like...
Gail! He hates Gail. He'd tie up Gail,
oh, he would.
He?
If he tied up Kylie, then the train would run over and then the baby would get squeezed out. I think that's
oh
what happens.
God.
Is that how it works?
Oh, God, I'm shocked. I think that David's downfall in this would be the fact that he'd be want to be the one that was driving the train.
Oh, yeah.
And he'd have to run quite far to get to the train to build up enough speed to run her over.
He did have that horrible beard last year for a little bit, didn't he? That just looked ridiculous.
Yeah,
he looked like he was trying to be a real grown-up.
That's not real.
Well, we got lots of other comments about who should grow moustaches. So I got a little bit creatively inspired by this. No, you said, this was Gemma's idea, that I should make some pictures, Photoshop pictures of Coronation Street people with moustaches. So I did. So yesterday evening...
Because you have elite Photoshop skills.
I can do a small
you
number of
rotating.
Things in Photoshop.
And now you know how to morph.
Yeah. So, yeah, I decided to set about taking some pictures of Coronation Street characters and putting little moustaches. So now we do have a picture of Chesney with a giant ginger moustache. We have a picture of David Platt with a little curly-ended moustache.
We've got Dev with a kinky moustache.
Yeah, and you can find all of those by going
we
onto our...
We don't have Fat Brenda, though, because she doesn't...
She doesn't look like her, we don't know. No moustache to it, puts a face, a Photoshop moustache onto.
No.
But you can see all of our pictures at our Facebook page or going on Twitter, and I think also, if all goes to plan, they should be available on the Coronation Street blog to have a look at by the weekend
which
too.
Is
coronationstreetupdate.blogspot.co.uk. So if you would like to see the fruits of my artistic
endeavours,
then go along and have a look at that. And if you'd like to see any other Coronation Street stars with moustaches, then I'd be happy to oblige. I do take requests. So that's about
and
it.
And you can do it a lot faster than they can grow them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and I was really excited because Wendy Peters favourited the picture of Chesney.
Thrilled.
Yeah, so that's the second time now I think we've had somebody from that's been an ex-Coronation Street cast member
acknowledging our existence. We're, like, famous.
Natalie Gamidi replied to us earlier this year, and now Wendy Peters likes a picture that
Who's
I've done of
next?
Chesney. Oh.
The girl who plays Mandy, the lady who plays Mandy.
Yeah, maybe. No, I think it's going to be Chris Fountain.
We're a big fan of his music.
So, if you would like to contact us, moustache requests or otherwise, you can email us at conversationstreet@gmail.com or leave a comment on our blog at conversationstreet.podbean.com.
You can leave us a review on iTunes by searching for us, or you can find us on Twitter at conversationstreet. Or you can find us on Facebook by just putting Conversation Street into the search bar and joining in all our amazing conversations about moustaches and other facial hair.
Yeah.
Should you have a unibrow? That's going to be December's topic conversation. Which characters would look better with unibrows? I'm saying Mary's going to go.
Mary again, yeah. Right, so that's it for another episode of Conversation Street. We'll be back next week with more chatter about things going on in the cobbles, classic character profile, and who knows what else. All depends what happens in the news. So have a good week and a good week, and we'll see you next time for episode 68.
Goodbye.
The music for this podcast was provided by podcastthemes.com.